Somehow, life never seems to turn out like we imagined. The routine and mundane is accompanied by pain and great disappointment, and we may often wonder if it will ever get any better. Disappointment, broken promises, shattered dreams. On this side of heaven, reality almost always falls short of expectation. Hi, I'm Dave Dino. You know, it doesn't matter how many of your dreams have died. If you're a believer in Christ, you can have hope. And today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger will tell you why. We'll get started with our lesson shortly, but first let's join Dwayne and our director Don Schenk with a few words about the amazing power of hope.
Dwayne, when people talk about being happy or blessed, they too often make that statement based on the way they feel or on how things are going for them. But doesn't the Bible teach us that true Christian joy exists in spite of circumstances, not because of them?
That's the teaching, but living it out is the challenge. Living that out is the process of becoming mature in Christ, that we don't allow our circumstances and situations to dictate to us how we're going to respond. But that is an ongoing spiritual growth issue.
Can you give a biblical example of that?
Yeah, I mean, the first person that comes to my mind is the Apostle Paul. If there's anyone who went through hardships and difficulties, it was him. Shipwrecked, beatings, thrown in prison. And what did he do? He always rose to the surface. He kept his focus on Christ. In the middle of a prison after being beaten, they begin to sing. And when we worship and praise God in the midst of those circumstances, regardless of how we feel, first of all, he's worthy. Secondly, that opens the conduit of God's blessing. It puts us, as I've often said, it puts us under the spout where God's glory comes out. And we see that God delivered them from the prison, but he also led the jailer to Christ and the family. So Paul is a great example of that.
Now, if you have lost heart today, if you know someone who has, stay with us for the next few minutes to see how to recapture your hope and renew your strength. Here's Pastor Pottinger with his lesson, Anticipating a Great Future.
In the book, A Second Helping of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Jack Canfield tells a story about a time when he stopped at a Little League baseball game on his way home from work. As he sat down near the first base line and asked the boys the score, he said, "What's the score?" And one of the boys yelled back from the field, We're down 14 to nothing." Canfield replied, "You don't look very discouraged." To which the boy on the playing field said, "Why should we be discouraged? We haven't even been up to bat yet." When I read that story, I thought, that little boy was anticipating a great future. He knew when they get up to bat that the potential was still there for them to win. I want to talk to you today about anticipating a great future. The power of hope, I hope, is released in you today. We all desperately need hope because many things that we have dreamed or hoped for have not come to pass. Somehow, life has not seemed to turn out like we imagined. The routine and the mundane is accompanied with pain and great disappointment. We may often wonder if ever anything will get any better. Today, we're going to take a look at how or why we can have hope and that there is great hope in our future. You should be at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're reading the first several verses. We're starting at verse 3, actually. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy..." Don't miss this as I'm reading this. Note the words. Note what he's saying. Let me start over. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I believe that you will see from these several verses that we can anticipate a great future. First of all, today, we can anticipate a great future because of God's great investment. Think of it. He was willing to take a risk and invest in humanity responding to his son. It was a risk. It was an investment. He is taking a risk by investing in us the possibility of a new birth, being born again. It's something that is required. You see, we have been separated from God from our willful sin. A choice to do something wrong when we knew we weren't supposed to. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that. I don't know of anybody that I've talked to and quoted that verse has ever had any problem with that. Yeah, I agree with that, they say. I say, but you understand the problem. The problem is in Romans 6:23, where it says, the wages of sin is death. And that death means we're separated from God forever and ever. I'm so glad it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. God made a costly, not only a great investment, but secondly, there was a costly investment. And that we would accept this. His son came, walked the face of the earth. But that wasn't the end of the story. Part of this investment, this great investment that God made, was that his son would die. It was a cost to the Father in a willingness to let his son come. It was a cost to Jesus that he would be willing to die for us. It was a cost on that side, but I want you to understand that it is a cost for us. This invitation is not without any kind of suffering or commitment on our part. If those who were to follow Christ were to truly be followers of Christ, they must take up their cross. There is suffering we will incur. There is potential persecution, isolation, separation. Albert Hubert has a quote that I put in your outline today. It's talking about when we get to heaven. Notice what he says. God will not look over you for medals, degrees, and diplomas, but for scars. What kind of scars do you have in your life? I'm not talking about when you fell off your bicycle as a child or when you tripped on the roller skates or, you know, when you fell down on the playground or on the football field. I'm not talking about those scars. I'm talking about God is looking for scars in your life that are there inflicted because you are a follower of Christ. It might be a relational scar, a separation. It might be an emotional. It might be a financial scar. It might be, well, you fill in the blank. But what kind of scars do we have for being a follower of Christ? You know, there is no promise of a pain-free life in Christ. Our pain and our suffering to be true followers of Christ may actually increase. Are you ready? Are you ready for what may come? In these days, as we are approaching the coming of the Lord, Scripture says that Satan in the last days will unleash his fury. We need to be ready to stand. And friends, brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you to prepare yourself. Take your stand now. If you can't stand now in this day and freedom in which we have in our country, how will we ever stand in the face of persecution? When the fire is burning, when the prison doors are open, when the gun is to our head to deny Christ, it's time to take our stand now. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul spoke about these kind of issues to Timothy. He said, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will deny and disown and reject us. I'm calling you today as brothers and sisters in Christ to take your stand boldly and courageously for Jesus. Understand that our anticipation of a great future was bought by a great investment of God. It was a costly investment for God in Christ, and He calls us to do the same. If you would be my follower, He says, you must lay down your life and what? Take up your cross and follow me. Third thing I want you to notice in this anticipation of a great future is that God has granted us insight. He has granted us insight. If you look back at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, look what he says. Actually, we can go up a few verses there. He talks about this inheritance in verse 4, an inheritance that can never spoil, or he says, perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Drop down to verse 7. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may be result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Now he's talking here about a faith that takes hold of the provision of the cross. It's salvation. How can we take hold of something if we do not know what it is? Do you understand that God has granted us this insight? There are people, millions of people around the world who have not heard the name of Jesus today. They don't know there is one who came to die to take away their sin. They don't know there is a provision for forgiveness. They don't know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Do you understand that God has granted us insight? We have had the privilege to grow up under the sound of hearing God's word, being able to listen to truth being put into lyrics and with music. God has granted us this insight. We should say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Because many are perishing and do not know that Jesus is the only way. You see, with this vision, we have purpose and direction. I found this quote. I think you would find it interesting. You understand that life is a task. Sometimes it's a chore. But this statement, a task without a vision is a drudgery. A vision without a task is a dream. A task with a vision is victory. And Jesus has given us a task, and He's clearly laid out His vision and purpose for us. And not only is it a victory, He's promised us victory. Amen? What did He say in His word? He said, you are more than conquerors in Jesus' name. I can do all things in Jesus' name. A German proverb says this, what's the use of running if you're not on the right road? A fourth thing I want you to notice, we can anticipate a great future because of God's provided inheritance. Look at verse 4 if you have your Bibles open at 1 Peter still. He says, we have this hope, and at the end of verse 3, we have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look what he says at the beginning of verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And he tells us why. It's kept in heaven. It's not in a local safe or a local bank. Where is it kept? It's kept in heaven. I mean, there's no rust. There's no moth that can get in there and destroy. There's no thief that can break in and steal. It's kept in heaven. Our inheritance through Christ is in heaven, waiting for us to fully come into awareness and acceptance of that. But it has already begun. As I mentioned here, he calls it a living hope. Verse 5, notice what it says in verse 5. Who through faith, he's talking about us and our faith, who through faith are shielded by God's power. That's big. This whole issue of our salvation, our security, and our inheritance, who's protecting it? Who's the soldier watching over it? The Romans writer in chapter 8, verses 31 through 8, I'm not going to take time to read that right now, but he tells us that this inheritance that is provided for us, this relationship that we have for God, our salvation and our hope of eternal life, nothing can ever separate us from that. Nothing. That's pretty big. That's pretty bold. He even says no demon, no devil, nothing. As we begin to see what is provided for us as God's children, we can begin to see that it will help us move toward it. Dr. Robert Anthony said this: we move toward what we picture in our mind. You think about that. If we get up in the morning and we picture negativity, ugliness, our feelings, having to work, having problems, having bills to pay. You know, anybody been there, done that? Whatever we picture in our mind is what we will move toward. Let's talk about then a believer's inheritance. Writer Adrian Ullman tells a story that I think helps us understand what is provided for us. A boy and his father were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon with their windows down, when all of a sudden a bumblebee flew into the car window. The little boy was allergic to bee stings, and he instantly became terrified by this bee in the car. The father, seeing what had happened, instantly reached out his hand, grabbed the bee in mid-flight, gave a gentle squeeze, and let it go. And so the bee started flying around again, and the boy said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!" A second time, the father reached out his hand. But this time, he pointed to his palm. And there, stuck in the skin of his palm, was the stinger of the bee. He said to his son, "Do you see this? You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you." And when I read that story, I thought, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Let's talk about this believer's inheritance. We have reason for encouragement. Of all the reasons that are recorded in the Bible, it's His love letter to us. It is up to us to uncover and discover and recover all of His provisions for us. And we're going to take a look at some. Number one, a believer's inheritance is we are made children of God. Now, I don't know if we can really get our minds around what that means. But it is even more significant than a adoption in this world, because it transcends the flesh. It is a spiritual adoption into the heavenly family. If you flip back in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to notice, we're going to pick up and read verses 3 and following in Ephesians chapter 1. Just down through several verses there. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glory and grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." I mean, you got to stop and meditate. You even got to go and read some commentaries to get to the depth of what He is talking about here. But we are adopted into the family of God. We are made children of God. I want you to notice also, He says here, not only are we adopted, but He says we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed. Now, the blood of Jesus, I think, had some incredible value. After all, He was the Son of God. If He was willing to shed His blood for you, that must mean you're pretty valuable. You see, Satan gets us to look in the mirror, and he plays a tape of negativity. "You're not worth anything. Oh, did you see what you... That was so stupid. You're such a fool. You can't do anything. And he just keeps playing these tapes over and over. When will we stop listening to the enemy's tape and start listening to God's word? Because he says, you are valuable. You are so valuable, he was willing to give his son and shed his son's blood for you. That makes you pretty special. We are redeemed by the blood. And his blood was the down payment. And then he says here, as we go on through chapter 1, in verses 13 and 14, if the blood was not enough, he gives us his very spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a deposit in our lives, guaranteeing us eternal life. Third, we are granted his authority and power. If it's available, we need to start using it. We need to start walking in it. I think we have an intellectual consent to a truth, but we don't have a practical application to the truth. We're sort of like the woman, a Welsh woman who was living in a remote valley in Wales. She went to a great deal of trouble to get electricity wired to her home and installed in her house. However, it was noticed that she used very little electricity over a period of time. In fact, her usage was minuscule. A meter reader came to check on the meter, and when he checked it, he asked her, we've looked at your meter, and we can't figure it out. Don't you use your electricity? Oh, yes, she said. We turn it on every night so we can see to light our lamps. And then we turn it off. When I read that story, I thought, you know what? That is so much like we as believers. We have our ways and our patterns of doing things, and we go to God to get a little bit of insight as to how we're going to do our thing. But there is this incomparably great power that is available to us that if we'd stop hanging on to the way we do stuff and depending on my ability to do it and go to God to enable me to do it, what would potentially happen to empower me to live in his strength? The omnipotent power of our sovereign God. I mean, can you even begin to grasp how much we are living beneath our privileges? Can you begin to even realize there is so much more for us in this inheritance that is available to us, this great future that is yet ours to claim? But we're still living in this world, and we still have to finish the race. We still have to get through. Why doesn't God just help us and give us his power and pour out and really, you know, charge us up? And maybe this story would help you understand. A young student was once asked the question of his teacher, why didn't the Lord give enough manna to the people of Israel for 1 year at a time? The teacher said, I will answer your question with a parable. Once there was a king who had a son to whom he gave a yearly allowance, paying him the entire sum on a fixed day. It soon happened that the day on which the allowance was given was the only day of the year that the father saw his son. So the king changed his plan and decided to give his son only what he needed for every day so that his son would come back every day to see him. Get the application? God isn't giving us a whole bunch for the tomorrows and the next weeks and the next months and years. He gives us every day what I need today because he wants me to come back tomorrow and say, Daddy, I love you and I need your provisions today. It's the inheritance for believers to walk in a relationship, not as dummies or puppets or robots, but to walk in relationship with God and to have this wonderful inheritance that we can anticipate a great future in Him. And I believe when we begin to see all that is provided for us, this inheritance that is ours, when we get this motivation, we will have this renewed strength and we will soar and we will walk and we will run until our day is done.
Let the promises of God's Word sink deep into your spirit today. You can have hope, and that hope is in Christ Jesus. In Him, all things hold together, and through Him, all our hopes will be realized. Let's join Don and Dwayne for some final thoughts.
Here we are, closing up 1 year and heading into the next new year. And it's a time when lots of people are making their New Year's resolutions, deciding to give up bad habits or change things, the way they're going to live. Dwayne, what would you say to people who are basing the anticipation of their future on the resolutions that they're making?
Well, I have to look at both sides of that coin. I think all of us need to continue to set goals and strive to grow. I think those are good. But I think we need to recognize we cannot pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We need God's help. He is the only one who can really change our lives. We are not self-made individuals. And I think when we submit ourselves to Him, when we ask for His strength and enablement, then we pray for direction and goals and for life change. I think He is the one who enables us to do it. But it's very difficult to accomplish it on our own.
Perhaps today, one or more of our listeners is going through a rough time, maybe a financial crisis, a painful divorce, or the loss of a child. And those situations aren't going to change just by changing the date on the calendar. What would you say to encourage them during what might be the darkest period of their lives?
I want you to remember that God is still in control, and that He hasn't forgotten you, and His ear is not deaf. Scripture says that if we will call on Him, He will hear and He will answer. Sometimes He doesn't answer like we want. Sometimes we don't see an immediate answer. But we have to trust that God is faithful. And I think through life we have seen, and I have seen, that God is faithful no matter what. If we can hold on to His hand, He'll pull us through. Our job is to hold on.
As we draw to the close of the year, I want to thank all of our listeners who've held on with us throughout the year. And I want to let you know how much we appreciate your prayers and support. Thank you for partnering with us in ministry and for making it possible for millions of listeners to be touched by the love, grace, and mercy of God.
Radio, it is the great invisible super missionary that can easily reach millions of people in different places all at the same time. And people like you make it possible. To find out how you can join our radio missionary support team, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. And remember, for a gift of any size, we'll send you a copy of today's lesson, Anticipating a Great Future. Call today and ask for tape or CD number 0352. That's 0352. Or send your gift to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For more information about The Tide Ministry, or to hear an encore presentation of today's message, log on to our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, can the way we spend our time and money affect the way we spend eternity? Well, it can. And next week, we'll tell you how. Making lifelong investments. That's coming up next week on The Tide. Until then, I'm Dave Dino saying thanks for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.